open your Bible to Genesis chapter 26. Now, the last time we were together, we discussed the death of Abraham, and then we talked about Isaac's sons, Esau and Jacob, and now Isaac is getting ready to move to a new land. Open your Bible to Genesis 26 and read along.
Genesis 26. Now there was a famine in the land besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws." So Isaac stayed in Gerar. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," because he was afraid to say, "She is my wife." He thought, "The men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah, because she is beautiful." When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from a window and saw Isaac caressing his wife Rebekah. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, "She is really your wife. Why did you say she is my sister?" Isaac answered him, "Because I thought I might lose my life on account of her." Then Abimelech said, "What is this you've done to us? One of the men might well have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech gave orders to all the people, "Anyone who molests this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold, because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the walls that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us." So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, "The water is ours." So he named the well Esek, because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also, so he named it Sitna. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land." From there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, his personal advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his forces. Isaac asked him, "Why have you come to me, since you were hostile to me and sent me away?" They answered, "We saw clearly that the Lord was with you. So we said, 'There ought to be a sworn agreement between us, and you. Let us make a treaty with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we did not molest you, but always treated you well and sent you away in peace. And now you are blessed by the Lord.'" Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. Early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they left him in peace. That day, Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug. They said, "We found water." He called it Sheba, and to this day, the name of the town has been Beersheba. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah.
Now we see that there was another famine in verses 1 through 3. Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac moved to Gerar. So we remember a few chapters back that Abraham had to pack his family up and leave because there was a famine in the land. Verse 2 says, "The Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham.'" Now, number one, we see that this is Abimelech. Now, this is the same Abimelech that Abraham has dealt with. And two, we see that the Lord has repeated this promise that he gave to Abraham. He now repeats this promise to Isaac, letting him know that he will and his descendants will have this land. Now, God reaffirms his promise to Isaac in verses 4 through 6, and it reads, "And I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and will give your descendants all these lands. And by your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac lived in Gerar. Now, the Lord is just making mention again that he made this promise to Abraham. Now he's making it with Isaac. And we notice two interesting words that are used here. The word command, which is H4687, which means a command, rather human or divine. The reason I'm bringing that up is because this was a divine command from the Lord himself. The other word was laws, Hebrew 84:51, which is Torah, which is a precept or statute, and is also referred to as the Pentateuch. Now, we see like father, like son. Notice verse 7. "When the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, 'She is my sister.' For he was afraid to say, 'My wife,' thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful." Now, Isaac does exactly the same thing his father Abraham did by putting his wife in the hands of strangers. So it's very interesting that something his father did that he didn't even know about, he is doing the same thing. Now, you know, the men of these of the land in these days must have been pretty wicked men, because all of these men who have pretty wives are lying and not even claiming her or even protecting her as their wife, saying that she's my sister so they can stay out of harm's way. OK, but Abimelech exposes Isaac's deception in verses 8 to 11. "And it came about when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife, Rebekah." So Abimelech looks down and he sees this. "Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, 'Behold, certainly she is your wife. How then did you say she is my sister?' And Isaac said to him, 'Because I said, lest I die on account of her.' Abimelech said, 'What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us.' So Abimelech charged all the people, saying, 'He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death.'" Now, Abimelech has to be having deja vu, because this has happened to him once before. And now Isaac does it again. And obviously this was the same type of situation where Isaac was probably in the daytime acting as if she was his sister. But then at the time where he thought nobody was looking, he was giving her a hug and, you know, caressing her as the scripture says. Now, Isaac is blessed because of his hard work, and he didn't have to tithe. Verses 12 through 17. says, "Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, 'Go away from us, for you are too powerful for us.' Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there." I like to bring that up because we see that Isaac did become rich. It even says that he became wealthy, but notice it was from his hard work. It didn't say because he gave anything, he was blessed. Because he believed anything, he was blessed. It said because of Isaac's hard work, he was blessed in the land. Now, there was quarrels over the wells. Now, we see recently the Philistines have stuffed up the wells with earth, and now there are quarrels over the well. Notice verses 18 through 22. "Then Isaac dug again the wells of water, which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the same names which his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, 'The water is ours.' So he named the well Esek, because they contended with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over it too. So he named it Sitna, and he moved away from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he named it Rahoboth, for he said, 'At last the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.'" Now, of course, they quarreled over land, over water, because these men, being Isaac's people, are coming to a strange land, and they're finding these water spots. You got to understand, there weren't faucets back in these days like we have, where you can go turn it on and get your water. Water was dug from wells under the ground, and this took work. So you might feel some type of way yourself if you have been digging for wells and you can't find water, and now these strangers come into the land and boom, they're digging up wells, and here comes the water. So they quarreled over it. Now, the Lord appears to Isaac. Notice verses 23 through 25. "He," being Isaac, "went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, 'I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham.' So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well." So as we see, they have dug another well. Now, Isaac and Abimelech make a covenant. Look at verses 26 through 33. "Abimelech came to him from Gerar, and his advisor Ahuzeth and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, 'Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?' And they said, 'We see plainly that the Lord had been with you.' So we said, 'Let there be an oath between us, even between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you. Then you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you and have done to you nothing but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord.' Then he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. And in the morning they arose early and exchanged oaths. Then Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Now it came about on the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, 'We have found water.' So he called it Shabbat. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day." Now Abimelech wanted to make peace with Isaac. They probably had a little, when they had their little falling out. But one of the things I noticed is that they notice his outward blessing. "You who are blessed of the Lord." They are seeing the wells he's digging and how wealthy he's becoming. So they want to kind of get back in close with him and say, "Hey, you know, let it be no strife between us. Let us, you know, make this covenant. And, you know, so we can all be friends." So you never know. People sometimes do things like this because they're looking down the road saying, "Hey, if the Lord has his hand on this guy, why wouldn't we want to be close to him?" Just a thought. Now, Esau jumping back to the sons, marries two descendants of Heth, verses 34 through 35. And when Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, the daughter of Barai the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they brought grief to Isaac and Rebecca. Now, Isaac and Rebecca did not fool with the Hittites. So, you know, they were bitter of spirit when their son Esau did this. Because remember, you know, Esau was kind of a man going his own way, and he just totally went against what it was that he knew his parents wanted. All right. That brings us to the end of Genesis 26. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
Don't believe he brought me this far to leave.